Good morning, everyone.
Do you agree that today is a day that we just come with a different type of joy and celebrating that we're together and we're all looking forward to the things that are coming from today, or maybe recovering from the celebrations that we might have had yesterday and all those times to gather together? Well, as often as we are gathered and celebrating for the day the Lord has made on this eve of Christmas, we thank you for your presence here today. And knowing that we have a service tomorrow, tonight, at 7 o'clock, it's interesting because we know that some folks that are here right now we won't see tonight, but we also know there's some folks that we don't see right now that we will probably see tonight. So when we take a look around at our friends and family and gathered around this church, can we just remember throughout the day for blessings of safe travel and understanding that some family photos and table settings might look a little different this year, and that we would just lift up all of us as we love and care of one another for this time of season and this great celebration of Christ's arrival and birth into this world. Do we have any prayer concerns or moments of joy we'd like to share? We have our guys in the corner. Just put your hand in the air if you have a prayer request or a moment of joy you'd like to share with us.
I ask for continued prayers for Mick, I won't give his last name, who is suffering right now, and I'm praying for a miracle.
Miracle for Mick? Mick. All right, thank you. Anyone else? 'Tis the season for miracles, always.
Thank you. I would like to ask for prayers for my daughter and an anonymous donor who has volunteered to give her a kidney. I'd like to pray that they are compatible and she can receive her kidney.
All right. Well, we'll continue to pray for that, for not only the anonymous person, but your daughter as well. Thank you. What a moment to lift up in prayer. Anyone else? Anybody behind us today?
I will. I will. I don't know the family, but I believe it's a Green family that lost their little one. I think we need to keep them in our prayers, please.
Yes, now we're celebrating the life of the Christ child that makes our hearts tender to anyone, especially a child this time of year. You said the Green family? Yes. Okay, anyone else? No? Do we have any announcements that aren't printed up in our service of worship? Do we have any birthdays that we're celebrating this week? Do we have any birthdays beside Brandon Bowlesby tomorrow, or 26th? Brandon celebrates on the 26th, right? Birthday on the 26th. Anybody joining him this week? Did we sing last week? Do you want to be included this week, or? It was last week. Well, we sang to you last week, though, right? Was it a good birthday? Was Chip there? Okay. Yeah. All right. Yes. Your brother Dylan on the 30th. All right. Well, when we sing Pass Along, that we celebrated his birthday today, okay? Anyone else? Yes. All right. Yesterday, happy birthday. A year goes by so quick, doesn't it? Is that a birthday bow in her hair? You sure, yeah. Anyone else? All right, well, let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
All right. What about anniversaries? Do we have anyone celebrating a wedding anniversary this week? Oh. The Schrams. How many years are we celebrating this year, Linda? 52. Oh, my goodness. The same amount of weeks in a year. That's good. Pace mark. So when is your anniversary? Wednesday. Fantastic. All right. 52 years. Anyone else? Ginny? Gary and Ann Bradley. 50th this year. Okay. Well, you have a little bit of experience, Linda, with 50, so maybe if you could express to them a few more good best practices, right? Okay, good. The Bradleys and the Schrams. Anyone else? Let's go ahead and sing. All right. We're going to hand things over to our choir to begin to draw us into a moment of worship. My dear friends, as we're brought into that moment, that state of gathering and worship, would you please join me for opening prayer together? Almighty and Creator God, we thank you for your great and boundless love for us and that great blessing we received when Jesus was brought into this world. On the eve of the day we celebrate of Christmas, Lord, we thank you for bringing us together in this space for the new life that the baby King, Messiah, gives to us. Lord, would we continue to recognize this gift anew, that it would know no limits, and we would discover it every day, and it would bring to us an indescribable peace and a boundless joy. Please bless this time that we are gathered together today. Would your Holy Spirit fill us and lead us as we go forward. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we are going to begin today by singing Angels from the Realms of Glory. This is number 220. If you could stand up if you're able, we'll sing together Angels from the Realm of Glory, number 220. Amen. You may be seated. As we find our seats together, we will find our seats and singing together. Go Tell It on the Mountain, number 251, as we proclaim the good news this season. Number 251, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Thank you.
Amen. What a great song of our faith to remind us when it's saying to go tell it on the mountain. It's interesting in those moments when we think of some of these lyrics here. You don't go on a mountain to not get anyone's attention. You don't go on a mountain to not hear your voice carry. This good news is too good to be kept a secret. It's that we would take joy and pride and honor in sharing that good news with the world, that we are arriving today on this eve of celebrating the birth of Christ. Thank God for his love and his gift to us, that we should shout with honor from a mountain where all can see and hear. Then our lives are forever changed by this wonderful gift of salvation. As we move on down our order of service, we have the Ryan Campbell family to come up today and help us, is our tradition, to light and celebrate the Advent candle. We've celebrated the weeks leading up today, and we look forward to your family lining up here and celebrating with us this tradition of our Advent candle.
This is the fourth Sunday in Advent. This morning, we light the three candles and the pink candle. The first Sunday, we lit the candle of hope. On the second Sunday, we lit the candle of love. On the third Sunday, we lit the candle of joy. Today, we light the candle of peace. Our world is not always a peaceful world. People hurt other people. Countries are at war today. People don't take care of the world. People yell and scream at other people. But God promises peace. During Advent, we pray that we, as well as all people, will seek God's peace.
When we look at the fourth candle, we remember God's promise of peace. We recall the words of Jesus in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." In times of war and hatred, it's hard to remember that Jesus is the one who brings peace. As we approach Christmas, let's remember that God's intention is a place of peace, where people shake hands instead of harm one another.
Luke 1:47-55 says, "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." In the scripture, we hear Mary's song of praise. There must have been times when Mary was frightened, worried, fearful, and sad. She may not have felt very peaceful as she considered her future, yet her words help us see the peace that comes when we trust God. How privileged we are to have this beautiful song of Mary. Can you imagine her singing the words written in the scripture? It's a testimony of her faith at being chosen as God's servant. And because she embraces God's future for her, she faces the future with the assurance of God's peace.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for those in our world today who seek to act for peace. Help us look for ways to be peacemakers at home, at church, and at school. Amen.
Thankful for the Campbell family and their helping us with this continued tradition of the Advent candle. And as they find their seats, we look forward to all the things that we continue to look at. Can we sing together to remain in this moment of Advent and anticipation? What child is this? The first verse, number 219.
Thank you.
In this moment, as we bring our time together today, do we have any children here today for children's time? Do we have any kids? I think a little older today, but do we have any that would like to come up? Yes, no? You guys want to come up? Okay. In this moment, when we ask our kids to come together, this day is so appropriate because we are seeking to celebrate an infant child, right? And Eleanor, as young as you are, even smaller than you, we gather together and sing for this, right? Well, in this moment, I bet you when we look back and think of this moment, you celebrating your first year with us, she's going to be as tall as, you know, some of the Campbell kids there. Now they're sitting over the mic, right? And they don't need a box to stand on anymore. Well, kids, when we gather together today, we're so often thinking about the arrival of Christ. And when we sang that song and we talk about all those things that Jesus brings us, all those rich behaviors and qualities like peace, joy, love, and hope, isn't that interesting that we would be able to see that and celebrate that in a little baby? They can't even talk yet. Isn't that neat how God's promise arrives, whether we have words or whether we can even stand up on our own sometimes, right? Right? We need somebody to help feed us and things like that, that we can still bring that kind of promise into this world. We're going to go ahead and continue to look at the scripture that we've been looking at for memorization this whole month, and it comes from Isaiah. Do any of you know what that verse is you've been working on? Has anybody tried it this week? No? It's been a busy week, hasn't it? I know it's been really difficult. Well, how about I read it one more time so we can think about that today, okay? Even though we got a lot of stuff going on for Christmas, okay, that we celebrate these promises. Yeah, hallelujah, right? Christmas is here. I have a feeling you were probably on the good list this year too, huh? Yeah. Well, this comes from the prophetic book of Isaiah, right, that tells before God did something, it reminded God's people of what was come. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has put me in charge of bringing good news to everyone. You know, I read that and it comes from my perspective, but what that's saying is that we're also in charge, each of us, into bringing good news to everyone so that people know that Christmas, right? Have you heard that Jesus is the reason for the season? Have you ever heard people say that? You know, that Christmas isn't about Santa and some of those other things, but it's about Jesus' birth. And it's important that we remember that so the world doesn't forget because we're reminding them. That's right, it's about Jesus' birthday, right? And we don't want people to get confused the real meaning of Christmas, do we? So that's why we got to keep it on our lips because we're in charge of sharing that message, right? Sound good? Let's go ahead and have a prayer time real quick before we go back to our seats, okay? Can you go ahead and get in your prayer positions best we can? I know I'm wrapping it up as quick as I can. Please say these words after me if you can, okay? We'll make it quick. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us and coming to us in our time of need. Let us continue to be hopeful for your arrival in our world and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys so much. I don't think we have Sunday school today, so can we go ahead and find a seat, either where you came from or from another seat if you want? I'll leave it up to you, okay? All right. Now, another great opportunity that we have this morning is one that we've continued throughout this whole new year, I suppose you would look at, right? Is it interesting towards the close of the calendar year that we talk about something happening in the new year? And Linda, we appreciate your opportunity to share with us your story as we know that the Lord has been faithful throughout your life.
Well, Russ suggested I might want to share my story this particular Sunday, focusing on Christmas Eve, because Christmas Eve in this particular place has always been extremely important to me. I don't remember when Christmas Eve started being that important. As a kid, I don't remember ever attending Christmas Eve services, probably until I got into junior high, it was called at that time, probably seventh or eighth grade. But what a special time it was. I went to a very large Methodist church at that time. And coming out, and at that time they didn't make, this would be in the late 50s, they didn't make you extinguish your candles when you went out. And so my sister and I used to always try and carry our candles to see how long we could keep them lit as we left the church. As I say, I don't know when they started in that church, but our family didn't start attending until that time, probably because, as I look back, probably Christmas Eve is something you don't do with really small children. Usually you want to get them in bed so you can get the whole Christmas stuff done or whatever. But what became a tradition in my family, I was the youngest, and when I was in junior high, was to come home after the 11 o'clock candlelight service, and then always turn on the TV and sit and watch Mass from the Vatican. I don't know how many of you used to always do that. We hadn't even had a TV that long. We are the last ones in our neighborhood to even get one. My dad wasn't into fad things, you know how that goes, but finally got our television. And so that became, while I was still living at home with my parents, that became Christmas Eve, 11 o'clock at the church, carrying the candles out, and then watching Mass on TV. But I guess when it really became a very special part of my life is, how many of you sitting out there might have been part of this congregation going to this church in the late 1960s? I know there's a few of you who might. As I tell my story, some of you say, you know, was it during Reverend James's time? I don't remember the pastor. But what happened in my life that has something to do with this church was when we first moved to the area, we lived in Snover. And for a time, and attended Snover Trinity United Methodist Church at that time. And as they changed pastors, there was a pastor whose name was Reverend Don Silvis. And his wife and I became very good friends. We had kids about the same age. And I remember one Christmas Eve, probably in 69 as I looked back at it, where Jan and I brought our kids into Sandusky to go to see Black Beauty at the theater here in town. And then we took the kids home and left them with the guys. And Jan and I came to this church for the 11 p.m. candlelight service. It was the first time I had ever been in this church. It was before the renovation. I remember it looking dark, smelling old, but was pleasantly, can't remember the pastor, don't remember the service other than when the sanctuary went dark, like we try to get it nowadays. And then as you start with one candle lit, and then as the church became very lit, as all the candles were lit, it really hit my heart that year. And so Jan and I came back again the next year. Like, same thing. The renovation hadn't been, so probably in 1970 or so. Jan and I left the kids with the men and came to church here. Again, it looked dark, smelled old. And I don't recall anybody ever talking to us, speaking to us. Perhaps we were greeted, perhaps we weren't. But that wasn't the important part. The important part was just the magic of Christmas Eve. And so when we moved to Sandusky in late 74, probably didn't come to Christmas Eve that service that year. We moved the 21st of December and hadn't made connection with this congregation until about Easter time. But then from then on, Christmas Eve here became magical and a part of Christmas in our lives. And as I look back, there's just something magical about it. But as a younger mom with younger kids, you know how hectic the pace is getting ready for Christmas so that Christmas morning everything is pretty special. To me, it was like when I came to Christmas Eve, I knew that my part at home was done. It was just between God and I at that point, and then go home, go to bed, and then Christmas will happen. And so I, for a long time, advocating for having the 11 o'clock service here, and to my recollection, it happened most every year until last year. And a lot of times those services weren't very well attended, maybe 25 or 30 of us. But for those few of us who came, it was that magical, special time in our lives, a time that we know it's time to put away all the worldly, earthly things getting ready for Christmas and just to have Jesus in our hearts. And so last year, when there wasn't one happening here, and I had kind of lost track of whether they were still happening, because with kids other places in the country, we've had quite a few Christmases that we spent other places. But just as an aside to that, my girls aren't necessarily church-going girls right now, but when I'm at their place on Christmas Eve, they always look up a United Methodist Christmas Eve service at 11 o'clock to attend as a family, and that's pretty special. And so last year, as I looked at the Sanilac County News, that page where they usually talk about what churches are doing what at Christmas Eve, I always scan to see if there's an 11 o'clock one somewhere. Last year, the only one noted on that page was the one at Marlette. Not even Roman Catholic churches are having the midnight masses anymore. And so I decided myself that I would attend an 11 o'clock Christmas Eve service just to feed my soul, not for anybody else or whatever. And so I was kind of planning to go to Marlette. And then I thought, as long as I was traveling that way, that far, I have a clergywoman friend who was at that time pastoring at Mount Clemens. So I just got on 19 and Gratiot and drove down to Mount Clemens for a very special 11 o'clock Christmas Eve service, just by myself. It was peaceful, it was nice, and I guess what surprised me more than anything, coming back, not much traffic, but the number of even Catholic churches I passed, that none of them were even having midnight mass anymore. I guess it's reflecting on society or whatever, but for me, I need it to feed my soul. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Linda, for sharing your story and the way the church has impacted your life, not only so many years ago, but continues to do so today. When we move on to this moment, we're thankful for all the lives that not only this church, but the Big C, the big church in general, affects our lives. And it brings us to this moment when we're always going back to Scripture. We're always going back to faithful promises. We're always going back to God's Word. And here's this moment when we actually hear from Christ in Scripture, and it inspires the prayer that we're about to say together. Could we please join together as one body and one voice for this Lord's Prayer together? Excuse me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You see in your bulletin, the name of the anthem we're singing today is called Christmas Grace. Just sounds peaceful, doesn't it, as today we're celebrating the lighting of the Advent candle of peace. As you listen to this song, note that it's two very familiar songs put together. The women start out singing Away in a Manger, and then the men come in with Amazing Grace. And just listen to how this particular arranger has melted these two together to make a very powerful but peaceful Christmas anthem. Thank you.
Jesus lay down his sleep.
All right, that certainly was a great arrangement of two classic songs and put those things together. It's interesting as the choir makes their way down, it's always an interesting thing that we are tasked with being post-resurrection people, right? Being an Easter people all year round, yet we bring ourselves to this moment of appreciating the Lord's gift to us and the arrival of the Christ child, and knowing that for all those promises that were made, that Jesus would continue to get older and grow and bring us a grace that knows no ends. We're thankful for that message from the choir today. This moment, as we think of this, of course, bringing it by today, I'm sure it could probably seem a little interesting for some, even though we've walked through this the season of Advent, of anticipation, and looking more of a prophetic arrival of John, the herald of Christ, his birth narrative, and, of course, how it leads into Jesus. This moment, the title of the message is called To Give Knowledge of Salvation. I want us to keep that in the back of our mind when we look at the scripture for today. And as we think of reminding of the Christ candle today, there are a lot of things that many of us are looking forward to or maybe even have some anxiety about today. Would you agree that for those of you that host, or maybe if you have a few miles to put on the car today or the truck today, that we're expecting some snow, so we don't know how that situation is going to go, or if we're hosting or going somewhere, we have last-minute things to do. Would you agree there's a lot of things for us to think about that will happen today, later today, tonight, tomorrow? I would just invite us to this moment of just the therapeutic. Does anything bring us peace more than that simple act of just wait a second? We're here in this place. We have some time, and we've made space. There is vacancy in our hearts for Christ this day, for the peace of Christ to be amongst us. Now, the scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 1, and it has 67 through 80. In some translations, it's called the prophecy of Zechariah. In some translations, it's called Zechariah's song. And so often, sometimes we celebrate Mary's song and this birth narrative for the Advent season. But we're going to take a look at this section of Scripture, these 13 verses, from the song or prophecy of Zechariah. Now remember, before we start today, remember in this moment that we've led up to in the weeks past, that Zechariah only had his tongue able to speak or loosened. It was muted for the entire pregnancy of Elizabeth with John. And it's in this moment, 8 days later, at the naming and circumcision ceremony, that when he confirms to Elizabeth's reminder and suggestion that he is to be named John, not Zechariah, to not follow in his father's footsteps as a priest, but to be the chief prophet to herald the arrival of the Messiah, of Jesus. When he confirms on a written tablet because he can't speak, when he does this and affirms, this child will be called John, therefore obeying the will of God. It is then that his tongue is loosened, and we find the scripture for us today. This again takes place on verse 67. Then his father, his being John, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the first thing to come out of his mouth was prophecy. Verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and has redeemed them. Verse 69, he has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who would hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and he has remembered his covenant to us. The oath he has sworn to our ancestor Abraham, he now grants to us, that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve without fear, in all holiness, in perfect righteousness, before him all of our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, and you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. And verse 78 says, by the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in the darkness and rest in the shadow of death, to then guide our feet into the pathway of peace. And finally, in verse 80, it says, the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly in Israel. In these moments, as we hear these words, to give knowledge of salvation. During this time of year, again, understanding that with us, and there's even a song that we're familiar with sometimes, it's called Easter People, Raise Your Voices, and it's because we are. All year round, we're Easter people. We live in the resurrection. We live in the everlasting life, and yet we bring ourselves in this moment of anticipation, and it's interesting because we're not anticipating in the way that we read Scripture because we know what happens, right? We know what happens in the Scripture here, but we are still waiting in anticipation of what the Lord will do in this season with our lives. As tradition is from our calendar year, flipping over into January, would you agree that there are some mysteries and there are some miracles, sometimes one and the same or sometimes viewed differently, that will be unveiled to us, that will be unrolled to us, that we can't possibly even imagine in the year of 2018, would you agree that there are some unknown things that are waiting for us individually in our families and the life of the church in 2018? And so we're looking for this season of Advent, of anticipation, to what is God going to do in our midst, in our lives? What is God going to do through us for this world, for this good news? And so here's this moment when we think of that type of anticipation, and here's that moment when the first line of Zechariah's story of prophecy says this: "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." It's important when we start things off on there because here's that moment when we continue to celebrate, I think we'll agree that even the most senior members of this church were not around over 2,000 years ago when we started celebrating the arrival of Christ, right? Like the arrival of Christ. But for most of us, when I look around, Eleanor probably being the exception, we've all celebrated a Christmas before, right? Wait, no, she would have celebrated Christmas last year. Yes, okay, I'm sorry. Didn't think that well out. So everybody gathered here today, then let me restate that. For everyone gathered here, we've experienced and celebrated Christmas before. This literally isn't our first time. But we come to the table and celebrate. We come to this place because the Lord has been good to us. Because we see in faithfulness that this isn't our first Christmas that we've believed, but we're reminded of God's influence, gifts, and presence in our lives. And that's what brings us to this season again, ready to celebrate. And here in this prophecy it says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." What's that mean for us today? It's saying that we don't know what is happening in this moment, but we are giving thanks to the God of Israel because he is making good on his promise to his faithful people. That's important because as we go forward into this celebration, we are thankful for the work that God has already done. This tremendous gift of love that when we needed it the most, the arrival of the Messiah was brought to us. This gift of love, peace, joy, and hope, as our Advent candle reminds us. So it's important that when we think back and reflect on God's faithful promises in our lives, as it prepares us to say, this will continue to be a season of God's faithful and fulfilled promises, because God always does what God said God's going to do. So it's important when we look at that today. And this is this moment when we're looking at peace this week. I just wanted to submit to you this, because when we're looking at prophecy, it's always the things that haven't come, but we see a lot of truth in here. It's interesting because as the choir shared with us today, we had a song that was started by the women that reminded us of Christ's first arrival in this world. Yet we also heard the men, and then before their voices combined, we heard the men talk about this amazing grace that as a result of this child, right, as a result of this ministry, and this was the answer to why we celebrated the birth of Christ, because Christ would grow into being that Messiah who would take the cross and offer us this grace. If you've been with us in the past years, there's a phrase that I keep using, and I hope it doesn't sound like a bumper sticker or a tagline, but it's so powerful in saying, you can't separate the work of the cradle from the work of the cross. You can't separate the cross from the manger. It all is part of this beautiful love story from God to us. And so when we're taking a look at these things, and today being the candle of peace, I want to submit to you this. The angels throughout this entire birth narrative of Jesus, but also time-wise going with John, were always saying, don't be afraid. Would you agree in moments when there have been fear that's in our hearts that sometimes we need someone to say, don't be afraid, right? Or anticipating or apprehension of something. Don't we kind of need this moment of someone to just, that we care for, to just maybe put their arms around us, or just a voice on the phone to just say, don't be afraid. I know you don't know, but just don't be afraid. And here's this moment when we're looking at peace, because there's a way where, would you agree, when someone says don't be afraid, that's still dark in there. Don't be afraid, yes, but I still have to wait a week before I hear the results of this test. Don't be afraid, yes, I know, but I'm not sure when the end of the month here if I'm going to have enough to make this payment. Would you agree that when someone says don't be afraid, that doesn't necessarily change the situation, but it does remind us that God has made good on all of our promises, his promises to us, and we have no reason to question that God will not still provide us peace in the waiting and serving. So I submit to you this, that later on in the Gospel according to Luke, when Jesus appears post-resurrection to the disciples, and of course, they have that fear amongst themselves, right? They have these questions. Was Jesus who he said he was going to be? Is this really real? Will he rise? We saw the empty tomb. What happens here? And this is the very first thing that Jesus says to them amongst all their fear and confusion about the days ahead. Jesus says, peace be with you. Amongst all the things, the worry, the doubt, the anxiety, the fear, Jesus opens with, peace be with you. This peace I offer you. Now, sometimes when we think of infant children, whether we've had them ourselves or we've held them before, children, if they're upset, can't they feel our anxiety? Can't they feel our stress and worry? And how many of you have ever had to try to comfort a child when you're tired in the wee hours of the night or after a long shift of work? And boy, if you don't calm down and have some peace, that child will not show you mercy and relax, right? So we understand that we sometimes pass that legacy of unrest to them. And all they're saying is, if you calm down, I'll calm down. Peace be with you. As we think about how it calms a child, if we're all children of God, would we start first by saying that Christ brings us a peace that passes all comprehension, explanation, and understanding, and a peace that only Christ can bring to us, is with us and for us, and it will always be enough. When we think of this prophetic word here, it's interesting because the knowledge of salvation. And here's that moment, dear friends, when I thought about this and I saw a couple of eyebrows raised and I got a couple of emails this week because I wasn't sure if I was clear and it brought up some discussion, so I wanted to reiterate. When we're looking at here in this prophetic word that Zechariah has this foretelling John's arrival, I'm not separating that miraculous or I am separating that miraculous raising of John and the miracle of his birth. And when I said that we are prophets too, think about this and take from big P to little p. Now it said last week, right, in the scripture we looked at last week, that the Spirit of God was amongst John before he was freely able to take his first breath outside the womb. Now there's one Spirit of God. And remember, this is a moment before the Holy Spirit was given to us before Jesus ascended into heaven. Now remember, we're thinking about this as post-resurrection people, right? So we have to look at this and understand that the same Holy Spirit that empowered John, the same Holy Spirit that brought him to a place to herald the coming of Christ, the same Holy Spirit that guided and protected John even in those moments when he was captured and beheaded for paving this way for Christ unapologetically. The same Holy Spirit, Jesus says, promised to us. My dear friends, are we giving proper acknowledgement, honor, and respect to the power and capability of the same Holy Spirit that breathed life into the prophet of the Most High, that it's here amongst us, that it empowers us, that it reveals things to us, that it gives words and opportunity and understanding in God's own time? John had to make space for the Messiah, for the Savior of this world, because there was literally no room for him to be born. There was no place for him. There was no vacancies. Just like the kids program, there was no place for Jesus in this world. They found a little corner. Think God had to move things out of the way. He had to stretch and make space for Jesus because in the civilized world, there was no room for this promised Messiah. This baby, John was tasked with his entire life's work to prepare a place, to prepare the way for the Lord. And it was through knowledge of salvation to have people understand, what were you being saved from? You were being saved from yourself, from ourselves, from the human condition. You were being saved from sin. And John had to have people understand, to have a knowledge of salvation, had to understand that sin was unhealthy and it separated us from God. John had to make that message for us to prepare a place for Christ's arrival and for Christ's ministry. My dear friends, I'm asking you on this eve of celebrating the arrival and the birth of Christ into this world, we do have that privilege. We do have that discipline. We do have that task. We do have that call in our lives. That before the Holy Spirit descends us, Jesus says, you will get a helper. You will get a guide to do this. Not to dwell or keep that secret to yourself, but that you would proclaim the good news to all ends of the earth. And disciples of Christ will be made as a result. You will bring people to me by sharing this good news. And so, dear friends, we are privileged with this opportunity on this eve of celebrating the reason for the season that we shared with the kids, that Jesus, fresh on our lips, that this gift of abounding love was given because God so loved the world. Are we preparing a place in this civilized world for Christ to arrive in this place, in our homes, in our communities, in our world? It doesn't seem too long ago, at least when we're looking at the creation of this world. Over 2,000 years ago, there was not room for Jesus in the world he came to save. Would we struggle very hard today to think outside these words of message and understand? Would you agree that we're still in a place over 2,000 years later that there's not places as open as they should be for the Savior of this world? Would you agree? That there are places that have move along. You're not going to find an open space here. There's no room for your Jesus. There's no room for that talk here. There's no room for Jesus to influence our decision makers. There's no room for Jesus even sometimes in the life of the church, big or small. My dear friends, the same Holy Spirit dwells within each and every one of us that raised up John the prophet of the Most High. As long as we have breath in us, that Holy Spirit is capable of mysteries and miracles and the workings that only God can be responsible for. That's the gift for us to give this season, is that we don't forget the Christ child in our lives, that we take a moment to not give God what's left over, but to say, God, what do you have for us as a way to say thank you for your gift that we open new every day with an indescribable joy? Could we sing together number 234? And we can stay seated for that. Number 234, we'll sing the first three verses of O Come, All Ye Faithful, number 234. sang together as a body of Christ. As friends and family, we gather here, but in this place, in this body, we become a family. We have gathered together, all of us faithful. How are we showing our adoration to the arrival of the Christ child for this gift of love? What does that mean to adore? In what capacity are we adoring and not just giving lip service to the Savior of this world? How do we adore? I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward today as we contemplate this, as we look back to the Lord's blessings that we've already received, as we give of the first fruits of our tithes and offering to give back to the Lord as He has so blessed us. Lord, beside the nativity scene here, we submit these gifts, these tithes and these offerings to you. Lord, just as you received many gifts before in the past, would you take and receive these, Lord, and would you be honored by what they bring? Lord, would you allow us to see these things to be multiplied and would see all of the resources that they need to be spread so that the good news will continue to go to the ears that need to hear it and the eyes that need to see it. We ask these things in Christ's powerful name. Amen. All right, as we are standing, could we please sing together number 211, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, verses 1 through 4.
Thank you.
right. You may be seated. Hey, we got music to herald their arrival up here.
Yes, yes. As part of the First United Methodist Church, Scarlett, Melissa, and Nat, at this time, we would like to express our gratitude and give you this small gift.
Right. You better give it to her. That's
all right. Thank you. Thank you.
Here you go.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you. Thank you so much for not only the gift, but the honor and privilege of being here and for the way that you continue to support our family. Recently, we experienced a loss, and we shared that. We know that there are many prayers that went with us to know that we are here and still going through that, as many of you may know, and also the celebration of the joys in life when Melissa got her job. And we just thank you so much for allowing us to be part of your extended family in this community. And so that's enough out of us, but just thank you for those simple words. Melissa, do you want to give the benediction? Or? Okay. That was a firm no. As the girls find their seats, can we just go in this moment we arrive at this benediction, this sending forth? Could we go forward today and know the peace that the Lord doesn't give us on happenstance, but deliver us intentionally, a peace that only Jesus can bring, that the arrival of this Christ child, would there be room in our lives to not only embrace the Christ child, but to welcome the peace the child brings to us this day? Would the peace be upon our lips and upon our days going forward? Could we go today to embrace that peace and offer it to others in the name and the power of the Father, the Son, and the guiding Holy Spirit? Amen.